Hello folks, welcome to the first ever episode of the podcast from the Pit Lane. It's always nice to have you. This is your host Vanshil Chauhan and I'm joined by none other than Paji and Akshat. So before beginning the today's episode, I would like to give a big shout out to my fellow buddy Anvay Pramanik. And this is because this podcast was made possible because of him. A couple of months back, I did a podcast with him. You'll have the link to the episode below in the description. It was an awesome experience. It was, as usual, all Formula One talks. But that episode was one of the point which intrigued my interest into the podcast. So, Anvay, if you're listening, buddy, this episode is dedicated to you, man. So, what's to look forward to in this episode? So we're gonna talk about Netflix Drive to Survive. Obviously, that is the most awaited thing whole off season whenever we are not having any Formula One stuff. So that's the thing which every F1 fan looks forward to. So we're gonna talk about that, and then we'll have some talks about the Formula One game. Obviously, there has been a big overhaul in that section as well. And it is very popular among the fans these days. In fact, it has made to an esports platform. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the 2021 teams, driver lineups, the changes that has taken place in all those teams. And we will follow it up with season testing. Unfortunately, it isn't much, but we will discuss that. And then comes the fan favorite part. We will discuss what the fan expects from this season, what rivalries could brew up upon the grid, and then we're gonna close with a surprise which will be revealed at the end of this episode. So yeah, guys, among of all these things, what are you most excited about? Akshat.
So I'm most excited about the rivalries. I want to discuss something about it, which we'll reveal it at the end of the episode. You guys have to wait for it, but it will be most exciting part. And another exciting part would be liveries and the drivers. There are some changes and some technicalities we are going to discuss in this episode. So sure to watch till the end. You're going to have something new to learn about in this season. And 2020, what brings 2021? And so keep watching till the end. And over to you, Paji. What's your expectation?
Majorly the same. More from the team side, first of all. Two major team changes. Alpine came out of nowhere. Being performing well in endurance racing for the first time in Formula One, it's good to be seeing them, and let us see how they perform in this totally new segment. And apart from this, Aston Martin, obviously, the BTW Racing Point was doing very well. If we just look at it, a 2020 season, finishing at P4 in Constructors would be like amazing, seriously amazing. Yeah. And just looking down to it, Sebastian Vettel again, a major leap 5 years down in the 5 years down in Ferrari, and then shifting down to Aston Martin is amazing. This is from the sport part, but when it comes to the entertainment, Drive to Survive season 3, the most amazing season so far. So let's see, hope for the best. It's going to be a great season down there.
As for me, there are a couple of things, but I guess, being a big gamer, I am very excited about the new game, which would be soon down the road. And apart from that, from the sport itself, I am very excited to see Seb in green. Of course, along with me, there is a long queue of fans who is waiting to see, hopefully, better performances. Of course, he is apart from so-called toxic environment back in Scuderia. So that is one of the talking points. And I can't wait to see another Mercedes 1-2 right at the Bahrain. after their over dramatic pre-season testing. And third, and last but not the least, to see the new Red Bull program drivers, Yuki Tsunoda and Checo Perez. I'm very excited and kind of intrigued to see how they go about their business. So yeah, so this is what to look forward to this episode. And without further ado, let's get into this episode.
I'm sorry, Vanshil, but how did you forget Fernando Alonso is coming back to Formula One? You're forgetting that. And some major, major ancient names. Schumacher is back on the grid. Kimi Raikkonen is doing his, I don't know which season. He's so consistent into it. So some older names are coming back to the grid as well. So very excited to see that as well.
It would be a very nostalgic grid for older F1 fans, you know, seeing Verstappen.
Those three to four names.
Exactly.
In the grid, it will be watching 2004, 2003 Formula One races.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
And if this season delivers as much as potential it has on paper, then it is going to be a cracker one. In fact, a step up than 2020 season, which was so weird, but yet it over delivered than the than what we expected in this
time.
So moving on, let's talk about Drive to Survive. I managed to see about I think I'm on sixth episode right now, and so far so good. So the first episode is called Cash is King, and as the name suggests, there are some pretty good revelations, should I say. And the most important thing that struck me was the influence of Lewis Hamilton. Man, he has such a fan following, such a big influence over the fans in the world of Formula One. According to a rumor or a report which I heard, was many of the drivers, teams, and even FIA was willing to continue the regular season under the COVID itself. It was Lewis Hamilton who first stood against it and said, "I don't get why we are here." I think it was his first stand which resulted into a delayed season. So that just adds to the character that guy possesses. And I think the next episode would be the third episode, of course, which is one of the most viral things nowadays, the unfiltered Bottas, which you got to see. So that is a good talking point. And after that, the episode 4's title, we need to talk about Ferrari.
Talk about Ferrari.
Yeah.
Don't need to say that much over here, I guess. So yeah.
Yeah.
So what about you guys? Have you guys managed to see any episode yet?
No, I haven't managed to see any of them, actually. I'm still, you know, trying to manage things right here. Although I want to discuss about the over Formula One and the motorsport, actually. So we talk about Hamilton's influence, but we forget that he has so people hate Hamilton. You know that, right? There are so many people, they actually hate him. I've never seen so much hatred for a champion like Hamilton has right now. So Hamilton has that influence because he doesn't give a shit about anything. Exactly. And trust
Aditya is listening to this conversation right now. He would be the happiest man on the whole planet.
Not the happiest man, but the saddest man would be Akshat over here, obviously. We got to know that Akshat is blaming that Hamilton has haters.
But it's truth, actually. You know that Hamilton has so many haters right now. Exactly. You can see pages on social media hating Hamilton, right? So he has that influence because he doesn't give a shit about anything. He only thinks about he only thinks about Formula One right now. He thinks about the fans who actually want to see Formula One every year. So he always and you think about that. We haven't seen black, you know, any movement like Black Lives Matter in ages right now. So you know, come from Formula One to, you know, endorse that movement is a big thing. And because of Hamilton, Black Lives Matter came into Formula One as well. People talked about racism, and you know, all those things is because of Hamilton. And as I said, because Hamilton has so much of people hating him, and still, you know, going up like that is a big thing. You know, you need a big guts.
Exactly, man.
So Hamilton has that. About Bottas is unfiltered. Ricardo tweeted that I think you've seen that, right, Anshit?
Yeah,
I think you've seen that.
That was epic.
Faji, you have seen that too, right? Ricardo posted on Instagram and Twitter too.
Twitter.
You know, he posted a story on Instagram as well, I think.
He is the banter king after Lord Lando himself, and they are driving together.
And they're both
the same
team. Faji,
have you managed to see Drive to Survive yet?
4 episodes so far. And considering the best moment would be episode 2, last few minutes, Lando winning his first podium.
First podium.
Amazing. Seriously, man. Amazing.
All around.
Seriously, man. Just seeing how that a kid, just 22 years old, and
he is even
getting down. And,
you know, he Lando Norris is actually younger than me. He is born in.
Exactly.
Actually, he's younger than all three of us.
Exactly.
All three of us, exactly.
And he's already a podium sitter in Formula One.
Yeah.
And we are doing here and recording this.
One day, I don't know when. we should make it to.
It'll happen.
One day, guys.
Yeah, definitely. It'll happen.
Exactly. Seriously.
So now moving on to
one chill. I want to ask about, as you said, you are a big gamer, and we know that you are a big gamer. So what's your expectation about EA F1 2021 as Codemaster has taken over by EA? So
top of my mind, I would say extremely expensive, just the EA does things. So I'm gonna have to explore a couple of my wallets to buy the game, not to mention the purchasable DLCs that follow later. I mean, these are EA things. Of course, it would be very nice if they decide to change it a bit and have some sympathy over Formula One and fellow Formula One fans. So that would be nice. But yeah, EA is a big group again. So everyone can expect a lot of improvements from them. And I have been playing F1 games, I think, back from F1 2017. And I think that was the point since this franchise became so popular. Of course, F1 2017 and 18, I had some other ways to play. And since F1 2019,
you all know that.
F1 2019, I've been playing that on Steam. So F1 2019 was good. But F1 19 had that F2 storyline in the beginning. And they introduced Formula 2 in it. So that was pretty cool. And in F1 2020, they took it to a whole different dimension, introducing my team mode. So you get to go in your team's car competing with the actual cars. Formula One drivers. Yeah. So that was a pretty good experience. As from what I expect from F1 2021 is my team mode was good, but a couple of cutscenes, which is EA's specialty these days, I guess, from FIFA, that would be good. And bug fixes. I remember playing in my team mode a couple of days ago. Poor Bottas had 13 pit stops in the whole race.
13 pit stops.
13 pit stop. And
pit stop was 23 to 25 seconds. You know this better.
I'm not talking about second. I'm talking about the number of pit stops. He has pitted 13 times. Of course, a bug. And the funny thing is, each pit stop was at least 40 seconds long. I guess if possible, I would attach an image over here if I have it in my PC. Each pit stop was at least 40 seconds long, and he had 13 of them, finishing just about two DNF guys. I finished, I think, 6th or 7th. My character finished 6th or 7th, and I think I labbed him 5th five times in the whole race.
Oh my god.
I hope the same doesn't happen to Valtteri in this season. But yeah, the best.
Not gonna.
Okay, so moving on from that, we are on our first most awaited section here. Let's talk about teams, the grid in 2021. Take it away, Akshat.
Yeah, so we'll start from last year's championship, and we're going to reverse it. So we'll start from Williams first. So Williams revealed their livery, their driver lineup. So let's talk about that. So Paji, tell me what's your expectation about from what was your expectation? What did you receive? And how happy are you from the Williams livery and their performance and everything? Please, go ahead.
For Williams, they were just following the liveries for the navy blue and white to be the persistent colors.
Yeah.
For this time, I think they have been got inspired from Finding Dory. the tidbits of the candy colors is totally amazing. The vehicle is looking pretty good, pretty new. And let's see. I'm just expecting to score some constructor points. That would be a very much big deal for them this year. Constructor as well as drivers.
We have seen
both the drivers are talented. George Russell, we remember Saket GP.
Exactly.
He just got gutted. So talent is there. Just let's see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Even I actually like Williams livery. You know, 2021's livery is actually better than the previous livery.
Actually, fresh. It just seems they are just freshen out the things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like the team principal changed. So now they want to change the car. They want to change the attitude of the teamwork, and they want to change
exactly
the no winning thing, you know, no points thing. So they are going to try to, you know, score some points.
I hope so. A bit of reconstruction of the team. Of course, the Williams is such a legendary name in Formula One history. So I think they are willing to get back to those glory days, you know.
Yeah.
So
as for me,
I guess they have been over inspired from my team mode. I guess this livery is so virtual. I mean, no one has ever seen this kind of livery so far in history. I mean, it is good. They have tried something different to look different on the grid and hopefully expect different results. So idea is there, but I think designer took a liberty way too much. So yeah, those are my thoughts on Williams. So who's next? I think Haas, right? Haas is up next.
Haas.
Talk about Haas. So I guess Haas it is pretty clear why Haas have opted for such design. I guess they have increased a fan base in a particular country. So I guess,
we don't want to name it.
You know, there is a quote, money talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or should I say not the fans, or should I say
delivery.
Money flow. You know, certain businessmen has invested heavily in Haas. So yeah, it is reflecting pretty much intensely on their colors. So what is your take on it, Paji?
I don't want to tell you, but the similar situation happened back in 19 as well, when Reach Energy came out of nowhere and changed the Everly like on a whole different level.
And that is a pretty sick library, though.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope that doesn't that don't happen in this season as well. So hope for the best and a total new lineup for the drivers. And again, Mick Schumacher, FIA F2 Formula 2 champion. So major hope from him. And Nikita is also a good driver. So let's hope for the Mazepin as well, that how he performs.
Sure.
Car is on, totally onto a mid-average grade. So hope for the best. What we can say for him.
Cool. What about you, Akshat?
So I'll say that Haas is the team that's been always in controversies.
Yeah. Ah, exactly.
You consider from Reach Energy to
good Trakali.
Yeah. So you know that. So I thought that they could have been done something better. You know, rather than just putting a flag on it. They could have done something much, much better with the new sponsors, with the new team, you know, with the new driver lineups. They could have done something so much better. You know, it could have been the best livery in 2021 season. But they chose not to do that. So, I'm not going to say much about it. It's still controversial. Popular. You know, it's because, yeah, because they are still under investigation about their livery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's just keep it and let's just go to Alfa Romeo.
No, when they launched the livery, I was expecting that they are going to get some stick from the fans and from the governing bodies as well, because it looked controversial the moment you lay eyes on that car. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
The preface to this livery, which was obviously the infamous Mazepin incident, which was inappropriate, I guess, but yet being fans were rarely over that incident and giving them another blow in a row is such a end of the line for us. And if icing on the cake, they have a poor season, which in most likely scenario they would have, it would be a complete disaster for the American team, I guess. So yeah, let's see.
You know, the thing you said, American team, you know, you quote it, American team. So yeah. people are mad because of that thing, that you are an American team, you know, so behave like it.
Yeah, there's a lot
people have only
between those two countries as well. So I think that also
comes
to play among
exactly.
That fans are in. I think that's also a major factor that is affecting this controversy.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on to Alfa Romeo. You know, Uno reverse card. So Vansir, what about it?
I mean, a lot of people would say that they have pulled a Uno card, but you have to realize that is one good looking car, man. I mean, they have a pretty nice looking car, consistent since 2019, if I'm not wrong. Since Kimi moved back to Alpha, they have absolute sick liveries since then. But this season, I don't know why it is less dominant on the car. If is that a reason or what? But this car just looks better, so much better than last year's. Obviously, there has been a lot of bodywork change. We'll get into that later on this episode. But yeah, I think that is one of the reasons why this car looks so much better and so much different than its predecessor. So yeah, it's one good looking car, and I hope they perform exactly the same on track too. What about you, Akshat?
Exactly. I was gonna say that the livery is good, the driver lineup is good. They have the most experienced driver. You know, Kimi Raikkonen.
Kimi All Star.
The Iceman.
Yeah. Kimi, the Iceman. So they have a good driver lineup. Let's hope that they perform the way they have things, you know. They have all the things. Let's hope they perform. Last time, Kimi Raikkonen actually performed great. In 2020 season. Yeah, he was performing very, very great. So I hope that this season we get to see those things too. So what about you, Paji? I think there's no much to say about it.
Exactly. Just on this note, just remembering the lap that Kimi Raikkonen had from P16 to P6, I guess.
If anyone remember
the post race interview, he wasn't knowing that what every driver was doing, and he's just passing by the drivers down there.
He was on the radio saying, "What are these guys doing?"
Exactly. Even on the radio, I guess.
Yeah,
he's always like that. You know, he's always like that. If you combine all of his radio conversation, what are the guys doing?
Where is the sharing with Engler? What are they doing? Yeah,
who has the drink?
These are the common.
In a nutshell, fun was had.
Yeah, I mean this is the reason why fans love Kimi Raikkonen so much. I mean, he brings banter to the sport without knowing that he is bringing that.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the most precious and most funny thing in Formula One these days. Kimi Raikkonen.
And I don't think anyone wants to, anyone wants that Kimi Raikkonen leaves Formula One.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. They want Kimi Raikkonen in motorsport, always till he dies.
even if it is in 70s, he definitely wants them into a driver lineup again and again.
You never know. One day, some random team would have driver lineup, say Kimi Raikkonen and Robin Raikkonen. You never know. The father of you might.
Exactly.
You never know with Kimi, right?
Exactly.
So next is AlphaTauri. Paji, what do you think about AlphaTauri?
AlphaTauri, better car with the best driver lineup so far. At the same time, livery could have been better if they just reverse card the livery. What I think is that because the darker side is much downsizing the car over there.
Right.
But apart from this, Pierre Gasly, we know, amazing. Italy 2020.
Monza.
Amazing season for him.
Race.
And apart from this, Yuki Tsunoda, a young driver from Red Bull Racing. Again, a Formula 2 contender. He's a great, but currently he's a meme material as of now in Formula 1 culture. For no height shaming.
Yeah. I can definitely feel that, I mean, the funny thing here is, once I saw the meme where they had literally mentioned Yuki's height, and the irony here is he and me, we are exactly the same height, man. I mean, even the point decimal centimeters too, we are exactly the same height. I mean, you can see
what you're trying to say, that you want to drive AlphaTauri.
Yeah.
Just getting down to a bit technicality.
Yeah.
Whenever a formula car or a survival cell for a formula car is being designed, they have a 95th percentile for it. A certain height and a certain weight for a specific driver. Yuki Tsunoda is totally non-clarifying it. And for the same, AlphaTauri engineers have to work on center of gravity more than their predecessor vehicles, and for the same with the Pierre Gasly. So there might be a bit of odds and gods between both the vehicles and their performance as well, according to the center of gravity. So let's see. It depends on the racing only.
We can just spot that on
the weekends.
Exactly. As for me, I think it is a more good looking car than its predecessor. Obviously, the same thing that happened in Alfa Romeo, which was a bit dampened by more dominant white. Obviously, that has been removed from this year's AlphaTauri as well. And that is a good car. Obviously, it is a bit on the darker side. Lighter shade would have gone along very good. And another thing which I would like to point out is, if you look at the driver suits, don't you think that it is designed in a hurry or something? It looks incomplete, especially on Yuki, who is already a bit on shorter side. It looks so incomplete on him, his overalls just stand out from the crowd. And there is an image that there's Esteban Ocon, Fernando Alonso, and then Yuki Tsunoda. I mean, his suit is looking totally weird. I mean, it is looking photoshopped. So last year's driver suit was a lot better. I think they have done a good thing with livery, but they have played a reverse Uno card on their driver's suit. So that's my
take. You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But what I think that the point you said that AlphaTauri's livery is actually good, you know. I guarantee they try to go retro a little bit, what I feel is. You know? Yeah, it feels a retro car. If you look at, you know, you zoom in the car and you look the details, it actually looks like a retro car. You know, and when you talk about the driver's suits, so what they do, they try to do the exactly same thing to their suits too. You know, the way they design the livery of the car, they would try to design the same thing. It looks, yeah, it definitely looks like it's incomplete. On especially on Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah.
But yeah. It actually looks great. It's actually better than Ferrari, I guess.
Oh, don't get me started on that, man.
That point's taken us to the Ferrari. Ferrari. So once you started talking, so let's talk more about Ferrari. You know, you have to talk about it. So let's talk. What do you think about Ferrari?
You know, I think you, Akshat, knows exactly how to butcher a guy who has started watching Formula One due to Scuderia. I mean, Ferrari holds a special place in every Formula One fan's heart, you know.
Exactly.
And seeing that scarlet red car on track gives you goosebumps. And suddenly there is a hint of green on the car, and that too a Mission Winnow logo. I mean,
exactly.
When they released their render on their website, first there was wheels, there was side pod, front wing, and suddenly when they turned to engine cover, I mean, what the hell is this? What is that doing there? So first what I thought was it might be some kind of glitch on their website or something wrong with my eye. You know, it was so hard to believe. I mean, they have gone with such a beautiful concept that they have a darker shade to the rear of the car, tributing older gen cars, and all of a sudden there is this monstrous looking green which is so uneasy on the eye on the engine cover. So I was really hoping that I will get to see something else on Instagram or from Formula One site, but no, I won't say disappointed. I could never really say so about Ferrari, although their performance disagrees with me. But I think they could have done a lot better. From my side, it is 4 out of 10 as far as delivery is concerned.
On that point, you know, you said you're not disappointed. You know, everyone is not disappointed. They are just, you know, they don't like it. They are on face, they don't like it. You know,
it isn't grasping from throat, I guess. The correct word would be it isn't grasping from throat, because till 2019, seeing Ferrari each and every time on podium and back when you come down to Italy also, seeing the Ferrari lower than P15, P18,
that hurts.
Under the throat.
I think
what they do is they are focusing more on their win now campaign rather than focusing on their strategies.
Exactly.
They are more in the advertising side these days. In fact, if you even see Lewis Hamilton, he was also shocked to see a double DNF Ferrari.
Exactly. Quite a long time we have seen double DNF from Ferrari. You know, we haven't seen Ferrari perform like this in a quite long time.
That double DNF.
And after seeing
that far, you're forgetting Brazil 2020. I mean, double DNF. Leaving that apart, but double DNF in Monza, that has to be different.
In your home, exactly.
Monza is a very special place for every tifosi. You cannot deny it. So performing that bad in Italy has got to hurt.
Exactly.
Clearly.
So, but for this, you can hope for the best that Carlos Sainz, one of my favorite drivers, is in. I'll be seeing him in red. And according to the analytics from preseason testing, it seems to be contending in mid teams let's hope for the best. Nothing more can be said for it.
Exactly.
Because by the time we won't be seeing machines getting down onto the weekends, we can't expect results, or we can't just throw results away from it. You know?
Exactly.
So for the best, let's see how it goes.
Exactly. So moving on to the Renault. Change to Alpine.
That is the most
Alonso coming back.
Livery.
So Vanshil is quite excited about it. So let's start with Vanshil. So go ahead, Vanshil. What do you want to say about Alpine?
I mean, they released a render first, which was black. You know?
Yeah.
Black, white, and red. So they did thing. I think mostly what they did is they replaced black from blue. So that was my first thought. Okay. So they are just replace blue, I mean cut paste sort of thing. But then when, as soon as I slid the photo, the first was, you know, the side view, so that wasn't promising, and the second image with lighting effects and all those sort of
added glossy effect.
And I was like,
matte gloss, not the gloss, the matte gloss.
Matte gloss.
That
car looks so awesome. I mean, studios is one thing. I was watching pre-season testing, and it was a night session. To be very precise, it was a night session, and it was the turn 10 hairpin. As soon as the car went around that corner, man, that car looked awesome with all the lights reflecting all over the bodywork. And also there was a bit of lockup, so smoke adding to the beauty of the car. And the cherry on the cake, Sky Sports played that shot in slow motion. So can you imagine?
That's amazing.
So what do you think about the livery, Akshat?
Yeah, so if you talk about me, so I like, actually the best livery of 2021 is Alpine. For me, actually. As Vanshil, you said that they launched the first concept livery of black, red, and white. People compared it with toothpaste. Do you remember if there was a meme, you know? Actually, many memes were made on that.
Not just Alpine. I think if 10 cars is there, if 10 cars are there,
exactly.
They are going to compare it with the toothpaste for like 6 to 7 cars. Definitely.
Exactly. But you know, I was saying that they compared it to toothpaste, but actually I like the black one too. You know, the black one was actually better.
That was awesome.
And this blue matte gloss is, you know, is ravishing.
This is the
actually.
Same case.
It's actually beauty, pure beauty.
This is the same case with Red Bull, when Red Bull used to launch their concept
library. Camouflage, the blue, you know, the blue Taurus library.
The blue with the black in, back in 2018, I guess, and blue with red in 2019.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing. Actually, every team is going to launch their concept livery. Even Alfa Romeo did that last year. You know that?
Yeah.
Alfa Romeo did that. So, they do that. But actually, I was thinking, you know, this blue one is quite much better than the black one.
Mm-hmm.
Quite, actually.
Especially in the lights.
Like a ravishing. Yeah. It's ravishing beautiful. It's actually way much better than the black one. So yeah, I love this, right? And they have a legend in their team. So let's hope for the best that they do the same thing with their points. You know, last time they couldn't make it to top 3.
Yeah.
They managed to top 5, but they couldn't make it to top 3. So let's hope that that thing changed this time.
So
what about you, Paji?
This brings
what do you think?
This brings us,
what are you saying, Paji?
Most fan-awaited team. But Paji didn't want to share anything about Alpine. Paji can never have a lot of Alpine. You know, he's such a fan struck by that livery. Paji can keep on and on blabbing about that livery all day long.
Exactly.
See, I won't get down to the total designing and inspiration part, but when we consider Alpine in motorsports, they are persistent and they have been doing all this activities, motorsport activities, yeah, not in Formula One, but when it comes to world endurance racing and each and everything, they are consistent and they're good at it, really good at it. So getting down to Formula One, I am expecting much from them. And just to getting off topic, Have you guys seen the LMP concert of Alpine? They have just recently launched for 24 hours.
I didn't see it officially, but there was a meme, obviously, which came across. And that LMP car also looks sick. That is a good looking car.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the point. And from those 60 cars, when the 24 hour Le Mans, they were building their poster, they have selected one of their cars.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So I guess this brings us to one of the most awaited teams that fans are hoping that will do good this year. That's none other than Aston Martin. Sebastian Vettel is finally in a car that has a Mercedes PU. So a lot of hope riding on him. So what do you think about its livery, Pazi?
For Aston Martin livery, that was totally expected that green is going to be there. And I'm just hoping the green is famous for Hulk and Hulk is powerful.
Ooh.
So nice. I'm just expecting the same thing from them. And just for a meme material, British colonization is happening in India again. If you get it.
And in their concepts, there was Aston Martin green along with their British green. So, I think they have replaced it with BWT pink at very last moment. I guess about it, but there are a lot of conspiracy theory surrounding this topic. But I do feel
and the pinstripe inspired from Mercedes again. I don't know how much they're going to copy from it. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, why don't they order, you know, ring Toto Wolff? Hey, buddy, can you provide me W10?
Pack a W10 for me, please.
And paint it in green.
Exactly.
I mean, the car looks, car looks awesome, but I think Stroll guys did a trickery over here. If you see, BWT is sponsored to the whole team, you know. But it is like owner's son gets a better helmet and Sebastian stick with that pink junk. I mean, we shouldn't say about this about some sponsor.
It's not a pink junk. But actually, when we talk about the driver helmets, we all know that the helmet at which the driver starts the season never ends the season at the same helmet. If you know it. apart from their racing, they invest more onto their helmets.
You talked about the controversy of BWT coming in the end of the lunar livery revelation. So actually the story is like that. If that's what I heard and that's what I read from some websites, you know, they said that the BWT has made Sebastian Vettel their main, you know, main brand ambassador.
Yeah.
So that's why Aston Martin took BWT back again. And that's why Sebastian Vettel is stuck with that pink helmet. Stroll got that beautiful green helmet. And although Sebastian Vettel's designers say that this is not the only helmet he's going to use in the future races.
Exactly.
So I hope that he get some big, you know, they can add BWT, you know, as he is a brand ambassador, he has to promote in there is a contract there and something like that. So yeah, he has to promote all those things. But I hope that they can, you know, do something differently rather than just adding whole pink helmet.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
I guess that when Aston Martin announced that they have a brand new title sponsor in Cognizant. Pardon me if I'm pronouncing it wrong. That is
Cognizant. Yeah, it's correct. Cognizant.
It is a very weird spelling. So I was happy that they have dropped BWT, and I had to read Cognizant thrice to get it correct. I mean, what kind of name is that for a company? I mean, I had never heard of it before, but yeah,
it's actually one of the biggest company in the world, you know.
Sorry,
it's actually yep. It's actually the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So,
about
yeah, but that's why that's why companies aren't take over Aston Martin team, and they try to, you know, take over from going from BW to Cognizant, because they probably have better, you know, in backing. You know, they can provide better in money and everything,
mm-hmm.
yeah, right. Marketing and everything, you know. So that's why they actually, I think that's why they chose Cognizant over BW, and BW's contract was expiring, mm-hmm. and BW wanted to, you know, stay in Formula One, so they had to think something to stay in the Formula One. So that's why they chose Sebastian Vettel, a legend, a GOAT and a legend, to, you know,
exactly. be the brand ambassador.
So Aston Martin cannot deny that your team driver, you know, their main driver is a brand ambassador. You have to put our name on your livery. That's why I think they, you know, did the pink trip.
I personally think that whole PWT thing was the final nail in the coffin by Mr. Mallya himself. You know, the king of the good times, so-called. I think before leaving the team in middle of nowhere, right in middle of Formula One season, the way he left, I think BWT sponsorship and painting the cars pink was the worst possible end to the Vijay Mallya saga in Formula One, from my side, from my perspective.
Yeah,
that's why I told you, British colonization back in India again.
Yeah, I guess exactly. We all got it then.
Yeah. I guess this brings
well, you know, that's all. Yeah, it's it has been more than 40 years for Aston Martin. Hope for the best that how they perform.
Exactly.
We'll be seeing green on the track again. That's a
like, you know, just like Renault, they also couldn't make it to top three. You know, just you know, missed by a turn or missed by an single overtake.
A whole string of bad luck upon Racing Point. You know, towards the end, Perez retiring
Perez retiring in Yas Marina. Yeah.
Yeah, when Perez won the Sakhir Grand Prix, I mean, I was over the moon, man. That man deserved the.
Yeah. Going from P18 to P1,
that and involving he was involved in an accident with none other than Max Verstappen.
That's why he had to pit and he gone to P18.
I mean, that has to play a big role in the race on his mind, and you know, that changes perspectives for different drivers. It takes a lot of character to come back from that sort of incident to winning a race, and that too a sort of a midfield team. If you put all the pink Mercedes thing aside for a moment, still it wasn't as good as that. And being a midfield team, and also overlooking the Mercedes screw up in that race. Also,
exactly. I was gonna say that we have to give some credit to the Mercedes blunder, you know.
Turning a blind eye to that, and yeah, but that was a factor, no doubt. But you have to be in that position to capitalize on that, you know. So you was putting in the effort, so I think he deserved to win.
Exactly, he deserved to win, and after 190 races, you know, winning. Actually, it is more sweeter than everything.
Yeah, it has to, man. It has to.
Yeah.
I think.
And after, you know, after knowing that this is your last season with BWT Racing Point, you know,
He had a lot.
He knew that it is his last season with Racing Point. And there was talking that he actually, I thought that he actually knew that he is going to go on Red Bull, because before that, Red Bull was talking to Sergio Perez. There were rumors that since the mid-season of the 2020, Red Bull is eyeing on a different driver than Alex Albon.
Mm-hmm.
But they were giving chance to Alex Albon, and then Sergio Perez did some amazing thing in Sakhir, and that changed it, actually. That I thought that was a turning point for Sergio Perez.
Exactly.
That did the thing, and that gave him the seat at Red Bull.
It plays a different role in driver's confidence, which is very important these days on the grid. And I think that brings us to none other than McLaren, racing point last season to,
just barely by 7 points.
Yeah.
Not much, but just 7 points.
This is the sort of fairy tale that every team dreams of. Back in Honda partnership, they were struggling so bad, and with Fernando on the wheel going all, sarcastic on the radio, saying this is the GP2 engine, we might as well park it and go home. And, have we left the engine back at base? From going from all that to this, with such a amazing lineup in Lando and Carlos, and having such a good season with two podiums, it has to be, they deserve the third place. So let's talk about their livery this year, if it's what they call it. What are your thoughts on it, Akshat?
They call it MLC35M,
right?
M. Specifically, they put that M for their Mercedes.
From their Mercedes partnership.
Mercedes partnership. Let's hope that although they are missing a Mercedes logo in their livery, we all feel that they got that, the main heart of the car they got from Mercedes, until they haven't
put a Mercedes logo on. There is a reason between this. I think most of the fans or the people following the sport know this. There hasn't been any commercial or advertising contract between Mercedes and McLaren, like it was back in the day when Lewis Hamilton was driving for them, or the logo that they had in the previous partnership. So they have just their PUD in place. They don't have any advertising contract on the table. So that's the reason why they don't have Mercedes logo. And trust me, McLaren was the first car launch of 2021. I was zooming all over the place to spot at least one Mercedes logo on the car.
Mercedes logo.
Yeah. So I couldn't find any. This is the reason behind it. They don't have any commercial agreements in place.
Actually, I was going to say that they don't have a commercial contract right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Mercedes part is only for one season. I think
I think it could result in a multi-year deal if McLaren was
right now it's only for the 2021 season, right? I mean, I don't think they have signed a multi-year contract or right now. I haven't heard.
Of course, there is a regulation change coming up for 2022, so they also have to.
In 2022, there are regulation changes and everything.
Yeah.
But right now, so they focused on, and then branding that M35M, MLC35M. So their livery is quite simple. They haven't done too much change. They made just some quite little bit changes.
What are your thoughts on it,
Paji? Yeah. McLaren has always has a special place in my heart when it comes to a dedicated team and dedicated car.
It has a place in everyone's heart. Remember that.
Exactly.
McLaren.
Just
for
the hater. There are no haters.
Exactly. These two teams will always stay in everybody's heart. McLaren and Ferrari. And now Mercedes, craving, grinding and doing everything to get into everyone's heart too. So, go ahead. Say what you were saying.
So, when it all comes to rivalries, I'm happy with it. It's close to similar than the predecessor, but predecessor was also good. Driver suits, okay, kudos to it. But when it comes to team and driver lineup, definitely very much excited on the grid and off the grid as well, because the duo of Lando and Ricardo, everyone was hoping for this duo. I'm telling you,
Honey Badger and
when they saw the so-called bro code between Sainz and Lando, everyone was they want to see the same bro code with Daniel and Lando as well,
right?
So just pretty good. Let's According to the pre-season testing as well, Ricardo is also feeling comfortable with the car. So it's going to be a good season for him as well. Lando is king.
When I look at Daniel Ricciardo, he came in as a hot property as much as Max Verstappen is currently in F1. You know, everyone looked at him like a champion in the waiting. In his first season at Red Bull, he outscored four-time world champion, defending world champion Sebastian Vettel. And when he switched teams, there was a dim murmur that Sebastian was running from a fight from Daniel Ricciardo, and that exact thing ironically came back to Daniel Ricciardo, that he was running from a fight with Max Verstappen.
Yeah,
so his career is filled with various highs and lows, and not to mention ironies like this. So I think that McLaren, looking at the McLaren's performance last year, which was so good with a Renault power unit, having a Mercedes power unit on back of that car would, if what we fans think it could do, and if it does on track and they can push for podiums along with Mercedes and Red Bull, Daniel Ric could have a very memorable season.
Adding more onto Daniel Ric, before this video link shoot, I was just getting down to some Instagram reels and I saw 2017 Baku Turn 1, just start of the race. Oh, if you guys remember,
he gained
three positions overtaking two Mercedes and I don't know the third car. The Turn 1.
Was he Paris? I think he was.
I'm not very much sure, but there were two Mercedes, two Silver Arrows, and there was another car. He gained from P7 to P4 in just a single turn with his late braking.
He's extremely talented. Yeah, you know, he's being just like he's too much underrated right now. I feel like that. You know,
he's always in the limelight because of his charming smile.
Yeah, Netflix.
Yeah, exactly.
That positivity blasts from him.
The Netflix guys loves him too.
From that point, let's go ahead and talk about Red Bull. He's Ricardo's previous team.
I mean, about the livery, I don't think there is anything to talk about. It has been the same since what?
There is. Just spot Aston Martin on.
Yeah, that was.
It has been replaced by Honda.
Yes, Honda.
Yeah, that's
a new library for you.
You can find it on Photoshop for beginners, I guess.
cut the Aston Martin logo, put the Honda logo. That's it.
I mean, that was the thing which I used to do in my early Photoshop days. I've got a mail Red Bull, you know. You guys still have my payment pending because I gave you the suggestion for your 2021 livery with crop and paste ideas. Pardon my bad joke. Yeah, but moving on to the driver lineups, I think it is one of the, if not the most, one of the strongest lineups this season in Checo.
You can say one of the most strongest in 2021 season.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Perez
had gonna be amazing watching Perez versus Verstappen too.
Yeah, that thing has to boil over. You know, but I think that Sergio Perez has waited so long to get into a contestant seat, which he has finally got into Red Bull. And the thing is, he has placed alongside Max Verstappen, who is this beast of a driver in tremendous form since last year, and he would be coming on back of a win from Abu Dhabi last year, and he challenged Mercedes, and not to forget, even Albon was on to that fight. In last laps, he was pressurizing none other than Lewis Hamilton. again happy with your face. But yeah, he was challenging Lewis Hamilton. So that goes without saying that Red Bull are strong coming this year. So I would be very glad to know your thoughts on this, guys.
Yeah, so
let's not talk about Verstappen's personal life. Sad Danny noises.
We can't talk about it.
If you go to the window right now, there might be a talk around.
because 2020 season got off, the major controversy came between Verstappen and We don't want to discuss on it. Let's get back on
to the topic. We will discuss about drivers. We have to discuss about drivers too. Let's just stick on the vehicle right now. Let's stick on the car. Yeah. Let's stick on their livery, their performance. You know, hold your horses. You have to wait for it. We will be on it. So I was talking about cars.
Red Bull is persistent. Red Bull is reliable. Red Bull has some sort of pit masters who can do the pit stop in 1.8 seconds. Red Bull has that sort of a team crew who can fix a total wishbone and suspension setup in just 10 minutes.
So, 10 minutes, exactly.
In a nutshell, when we talk about Red Bull, they are contender for the podium and they reserve a seat on the podium. Nothing more. We are expecting the same performance from that as well, but expecting a second or a first position, we can say.
We'll probably see back. You know? I think that this time something, you know, the championship is not going to be that easy. Constructor championship is going to be hard this time. I don't think Mercedes will win that easily this time, because I think that AlphaTauri is showing so much, you know, brave performance. Because Red Bull is coming like a hot, you know, Taurus, literally leaving everyone behind in testing too. So I think they are gonna.
Base right now. So that goes without saying. And if we look back, so last season, I don't think that apart from Red Bull, apart from Max Verstappen, Mercedes had anyone else to challenge them. Albon had so much pressure on his shoulder, and I also think that the car was more suited to Verstappen's driving style, so that was one of the contributing reasons. Perez is adjusting so well in that Red Bull because he has so much experience along with him, and Albon had I think 11 or 12 races in Formula 1, and he was placed in such a tremendous pressure kind of seat, none other than Red Bull under Helmut Marko and Adrian Newey, Christian Horner, some of the big names in Formula 1. So that is something comes along with a lot of pressure. So I think Albon was given less opportunities to prove himself. But let's see.
And you know, everyone was thinking that the Red Bull was going to give a second chance to Albon, you know they were gonna, because if Red Bull Mexico haven't tweeted that wait for the announcement, you know, something like that, they tweeted that, and they gave it away that Perez is finalized, you know. Otherwise nobody thought that, you know, people actually knew that Perez was in the list. People actually thought that Perez would be reserve driver rather than the main, you know, in a lineup. But as I said, Red Bull Mexico gave it away by tweeting it. You know, just wait for it and something like that. They tweeted something like that and that gave it away. Mm-hmm. So I actually feel bad for Alex Albon, you know, and after being under so much pressure and still performing, he was performing good. It wasn't like that he was performing bad. The car was bad for him. You know, he wasn't able to, you know,
adjust,
get familiar with the car and adjust to it. So that was that about Red Bull. And as we say, that it is the only team who's been giving hell to Mercedes. So let's move on to Mercedes.
Hail Hamilton.
Hamilton. Let's talk about him. Paji, you've been excited about it. So let's talk about it.
Not excited, but everyone hates Hamilton. I don't know why. Most of them, not everyone. But he has some sort of audacity, and he has proven himself a lot of times. A lot of times. If you remember USGP, the first USGP of 2020, driving at three wheels. No doubt Alonso has driven on two wheels, but driving at three wheels and defending Red Bull at the same time, knowing that Verstappen is also pushing onto him and completing at P1, that's tremendous. Holding that sort of pressure, holding that sort of commitment to your work is totally amazing, seriously.
Yeah.
And considering that thing, Hamilton has proven himself a lot of times. He is a godfather in Formula One as of now, in our generation. And we all are knowing that he has placed his value and his name on the Hall of Fame of Formula One.
Exactly.
And if you talk about the livery, the main part you forgot, which was livery. Many people, I remember it correctly. I wasn't going to point out that, but I think I should. It will be fun. It's not about criticizing. Matt from the WTF one. He said that he didn't like it. He doesn't like the
Mercedes admin.
And then Mercedes admin posted a tweet that five RTs and I will post the W12 content. So in reply, Matt said that 10,000 something like 10,000 RTs and you have to post the livery you haven't showed us. And Mercedes pointed out the Matt's tweet about personally not a, his tweet was personally not a fan of the new Merc. Think the last one looked much sleeker. So Mercedes pointed out that tweet and said it's too late for that now, Matt. And a kissing emoji. And then Matt said, sorry, my account was hacked, I swear. Mercedes admin is out of this world.
He is a savage guy, seriously savage guy.
He is a savage guy. You cannot compete with him. Last time, Racing Point won the social media championship, but I think it was because Mercedes admin was not that active, I think that. But I don't think this time it will happen.
Yeah.
I think I already seeing this savageness, in his tweets and everything. And come to livery. I actually like the Mercedes livery. The grayish part at the end, the red numbers 44 and 77, and the light bluish cyan type color. It actually looks better. It actually lights up the car. The black Merc car. So I actually liked it. And you talk about driver lineup. So it is the best lineup right now. The consistent, the best lineup right now. The only lineup that Mercedes can rely on right now. If you talk about the Bottas, the unfiltered Bottas. He's been so underrated right now. I feel like that thing that happened. He's been going through the same pressure that Albon is gone through. I feel like that. So, he has, and plus, he has so much potential in him. Bottas has so much potential. Since he joined Mercedes.
Getting onto podium again and again and again, but not
exactly,
winning.
Exactly. He has been, and in practice, always been the fast.
Exactly.
And that is never
P3
fast. Okay. Exactly. Even in this
qualifier one fastest, qualifier two fastest, qualifier
two fastest,
three,
qualifier three more, qualifier three Hamilton. And Hamilton shows that you chill out. I'm still here. Hamilton be like, yo, chill out. I'm still here. You can't win this like that. You can't win it like that. You cannot take it away from me. So he takes it away, but still, Bottas showed a lot of potential. And people were saying that Bottas should be replaced by Russell, George Russell, and I thought it's not a great thing to replace Bottas right now. He is much younger than Hamilton right now, and he has so much to prove. That's it from me. So, Vanchil, you have to add something about it?
Exactly. More on to Lewis Hamilton, as Paji mentioned that he gets a lot of stick from the followers of Formula One. Me being, I started watching Formula One towards the end of 2007. I butchered the year in the trailer video. I said 2000, and I would have been like, what, 5 to 6 months old at that time to be starting watching Formula One. But yeah, I started watching towards the end of 2007 season. Obviously, Kimi Raikkonen won, and the red car won. That's why I'm such a like Ferrari fan. And I was obviously hoping that in 2008, Ferrari would win again, which actually happened for, what, 10 seconds, ironically, in Massa. But yeah, so I saw my first ever season, which was won by Lewis Hamilton. And the season before, he lost by a single point to none other than Kimi Raikkonen. So that shows the, you know, presence on track that guy has. And if we talk about his time in Mercedes, he was replacing the god of Formula One himself.
Yeah.
Schumacher.
Schumacher.
That in itself is a pretty big seat. And he was boxed against his, you know, childhood rival in Nico Rosberg, which would go down as one of, if not the greatest rivalries in history of Formula One. And he outscored him for 2 seasons in a row before Rosberg got better of him. And since then, I think he has been absolutely ruthless, whether it be it's his on-track performance, off-track performance, mind games here and there. And, you know, having that kind of pressure, he added that pressure on Valtteri. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Having the same car under his, so I mean, it has. You have to be in that position, you know, to, you know, win 7 world titles and probably going for an 8th this year. So
yeah,
Lewis Hamilton is.
And you talked about, you know, replacing Schumacher, you know, so he is the only one. Schumacher is the only one. We say that I feel my record is going to be broken, yeah. And it's going to be broken by two people, Sebastian Vettel, either Sebastian Vettel or either Lewis Hamilton.
Exactly.
And he said that in that interview that I see so much potential in you, Lewis Hamilton, and I feel that, and he said I hope that he breaks my. So Hamilton actually did that. He broke most win record, he most podiums record. Most world championship record is going to be broken, I think, this time.
Exactly.
Let's see.
Yeah. So now that brings us towards the end of the podcast. We would now quickly discuss what's new with the cars this season.
Yeah.
And then we'd close it up with our predictions. So let's see what's new with the new 2021 cars. So they have FIA.
Before we get into the new 2021 car, Vanchil, I have a question to ask you.
Okay.
I know that Paji know that, but many of our viewers and many of the F1 fans doesn't know. Mm-hmm. There's a new token system, right?
Yeah.
Introduced token system.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about a little bit about that and tell what is actually all about. And it's not actually a new system. It's been before in previous seasons too, but they actually bring back the token system again. So what's it?
So this basically limits a team's ability to develop any part on the car, right? As we all know that COVID has been very harsh on a lot of teams, especially on the financial side. So FIA has introduced this as a countermeasure that teams don't bite more than they could chew. So I think that's the main reason they have introduced this. So each team is given 2 tokens, which they have to utilize in designing parts of their cars. And say, for example, if a team needs to change their rear suspension, then they would have to spend 2 of their tokens, leaving them with know more in the stock. And if they want to change anything on the front wing, they would have to spend one more. So on and on. So this is what the token system looks like with 2021 cars, and all the teams have to cope with them.
Yeah. So and to add with the adding that this system doesn't contain every part. You know, there are actually one, you can spend one token on some parts and you have to spend two tokens on other parts. There are major parts like the front floor, then power unit, then suspension system both, and all those you have to spend two tokens, and some parts you have to spend one token. So people, the teams can use the same token for the two different parts, and they can use the same part again and again twice. Again, FIA has released that if the tokens are all used, they don't have any extra tokens. So they can get back to the previous changes they have made, the last season's changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if, right now as a McLaren change to power unit to Mercedes, slightly they, without people knowing, they changed their rear suspension as well.
Exactly.
Without people knowing.
Going to draw McLaren first, because they have been very cheeky.
Yeah.
And developing car under the noses of FIA. Obviously, that is very legal. They have gone through a lot of scrutiny from FIA before getting approval at the FIA seal of approval. But another team which has absolutely shocked fans is Haas. They have spent no coupe tokens, nothing. They have just carried on the last year's car and diverted all the resources to the new 2022 contender with whole new regulations. Also, they have a whole rookie lineup in Mick Schumacher and Nikita Mazepin. So that would also get them up to the paces in their rookie season. And other than that, Mercedes, they got rid of the DAS. So that's the biggest talking point of 2021 season. And
about DAS, I think Paji would be back in 2020, to share more about
it. It was decided back in 2020, I guess, that FIA is going to approve it for this season only. But for next season, they have to remove it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
this
brings me to comparison for 2021 changes between Red Bull and Mercedes. I don't think that a lot of people know that Mercedes and Red Bull have absolutely opposite rake setup. Rake is the inclination of car from the ground, right? In the rear. So the floor has been trimmed from the rear. So what happens is that, kind of stalls the airflow underneath the car. So lower the rake is, the more airflow would be stalled going to the rear of the car. And I think Ted from the Sky Sports pointed it out that is what's making current Merc so unstable. And that's why Red Bull is so fast. They have a higher rake, lower wheelbase. That is the distance between your front and rear axles. So that's the secret behind Red Bull's pace. And
I actually think McLaren,
Mercedes could big trouble.
Yeah, and I actually think that McLaren tried to do that too. I think they changed the diffuser too, right?
Yeah,
they changed the
regulation. Each and every team had to adjust.
I'm not saying that they are not in regulation. I'm saying that they try to do that what Red Bull has done.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They try to do that, but still they haven't achieved that yet. Yet, I hope that it's yet not every time.
If we consider the major changes, aero package has a major drastic change. If we have to talk, aero package has the drastic changes in the rule book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the narrow trim, as we discussed, the airflow totally has been changed. Different temps, everything is totally different than the predecessor season. Let's hope for the best, and let's see how the team has gone so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and to add up to that aero changes, you said that when the token system was introduced, then they, you know, Alpha Taurus technical chief, Jody Agincan, I think, I am sorry if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. He said that they, whatever you do, aerodynamic development is going to be the king of
exactly.
the racing.
Exactly.
Every time. So it always comes to the aerodynamics of the car. So yeah, to end with that, let's move forward. Vanshir?
Yeah, so one last interesting fact about this episode, Renault or Alpine has been using same crash structure, which is carried over from 2019. So they had the same structure in 2019, 2020, and 2021 too. So that has some pretty fond memories of Nico Hülkenberg, Daniel Ricciardo, you know, Carlos Sainz, and now Fernando Alonso and Ocon himself. So there has been a lot of drivers in that cockpit. So yeah, the Renault are going back to the roots with their design. So guys, this brings us towards the last section of this podcast. Has been a bit long episode than we anticipated, but hey, we are good fans. We can go for a whole day. So diving right into the predictions, I would like top three drivers and top three teams. Akshar, go on.
Yeah, so and you forget about the rivalries.
Yeah,
come on, last point will be rivalries, so don't forget to watch till the end. You know, you wait till long, you wait a little bit more.
Sure.
So my first three drivers, that's gonna be tough, you know, thing if I don't anticipate it from the testing and don't take it in that. So I'll say that Hamilton first. Second, what's happened?
Over here, let's not consider for top three.
Okay.
Because we all know the top three are like consistent. Top three. Just focus on who will be coming fourth, fifth, and sixth.
That's what I'm saying. Let's try top five driver. Constructor champion. Who's gonna be constructor champion and who's gonna be third, three, four, five. Right.
Yeah.
So I'll start. So for me, as I say, first will be Lewis Hamilton in driver championship. He's gonna win his eighth championship and break the Schumacher record. And then he's gonna be. And second will be, I feel Max Verstappen. This time he's not gonna be stay back. I think and I think the championship going to be go for long. I hope it goes to the end of the season. But I think Max Verstappen going to be second. Third will be Valtteri Bottas. Fourth will be Sergio Perez. And fifth will be Daniel Ricciardo. That's my top five. Yeah. And Constructor Championship, I'm thinking Red Bull this time.
Nice.
I don't know why, but I am feeling that Red Bull is going to give hell to Mercedes this time, and I think they're gonna win constructive championship.
Nice.
Third will be this time McLaren's got a little bit of, you know, gonna see their way, because I don't think McLaren can stay on third this time. They do have Mercedes power engine, they do have, you know, Mercedes power unit, but I don't think they're gonna help them win the third position. I think the third is going to be, I'm going to say Alpine.
Nice. Good prediction.
I hope so, okay, that Alpine get to the third position. Fourth is going to be Aston Martin and fifth is going to be McLaren.
Nice, man. Nice. And what about you, Paji?
Yeah.
Just don't focus on numbers. I've just picked up my top five or like favorite five.
Okay.
when it down goes to the driver lineup, obviously, the two major names, Hamilton and Verstappen, is going to be persistent over here. Apart from this, I'm expecting very much more about from Sebastian, because he has a lot to prove since 2019. No doubt he won Singapore. He is good at it. Everyone fears from Sebastian when it comes to Singapore Grand Prix, because he has achieved that level on that track. So I'm expecting more from Sebastian. And when it comes to other two, then Ricardo is still there and Lando Norris is still there.
Ooh, no Bottas.
Yeah, oh. you're gonna send Bottas to 6th and 7th places.
Not I'm just picked up my top five. I'm not pretty. I told you. I've just picked up my top like favorite five, not
that's the total consistency. The top five prediction.
He's just using wordplay right now. He has created his top five and he's just using wordplay that his decisions are not his prediction.
Getting down to constructors. Obviously, I'm with you, Akshay, onto this. Constructor, I'm expecting more from Red Bull this side. Mercedes, obviously. Apart from this, Aston Martin, Alpine, and McLaren would be the top three.
Following three.
Bottom three.
Okay, so for me, probably if I open my window right now, I'd see angry Aditya outside. For me,
you don't. Please, you don't.
It's first would be Max Verstappen. I'm telling this on the basis of progress that he has made since start of 2018 season. He was spinning, crashing, and come Austria, he just turned into a beast and he followed
he blew everyone's pain.
Yeah, he followed it up with 29
and that win is home Grand Prix
followed it with amazing 2019, even better 2020. What's next? The World Drivers Championship. So I'm backing him on the basis of his performance as far as Red Bull is reliable enough. Second would be again Lewis Hamilton, very close pointed. It's important to point out it could go down the wire between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Third would be, I know, tricky to call, but I am going to give it to Bottas. He has some unfinished business. So third, Bottas.
Exactly.
Fourth, Perez. And I'm going to say fifth to maybe Lance Stroll. And this is coming.
Ooh, Lance Stroll.
This is coming because Lance Stroll
has... Okay, nice.
I mean, it is balanced between Lance Stroll and, you know, Daniel Ricciardo or Sebastian Vettel. There are three contenders on my side in fifth. Lance Stroll because, obviously, Aston Martin with Mercedes power unit, the green Mercedes, is looking good. If it is reliable enough, Stroll has been in that team for a long time, longer time than Sebastian. So that's an edge. And so I think that could play good. But if he spoils it, then Ricciardo and Sebastian are there to grab the fifth place. But Stroll could do something good. I mean, we cannot forget Monza and his pole in Turkey. Lad got potential. It is always overlooked because of his father's money. But Lad got
father's, father being the team principal.
Yeah. And as for the teams, same. Red Bull, Mercedes, and still McLaren. They're good.
But, you know, I want to get all these predictions wrong because all three of them hasn't took into consideration for Ferrari. Ferrari is lost. At this time, Ferrari is lost. And I want to, and I really want to get this prediction wrong, and I want Ferrari and Ferrari drivers in top 5.
Exactly.
Not just you. All F1 fans want their prediction.
I don't know why we didn't pick up. Only because of the previous season. The only because of previous season.
Yeah,
but
previous seasons and the
I want to.
Exactly. You know,
we want to get our predictions wrong and Ferrari to be in top 5.
We don't know. Yeah, and as you talked about Ferrari, and we don't know, might Sergio Perez might won the championship this time.
Exactly.
We talk about
Exactly.
Sergio Perez has shown so much potential, and he has so much potential and experience more than many drivers right now. So I think that he can win the championship, and he has got the car right now.
Exactly.
So,
this time he has got the car.
Let's see where it brings. 2020 is just this week, Sunday. 2021 season is gonna start. So let's see what first Bahrain and we bring us.
Yeah, so this has been an amazing episode, first ever episode of Podcast from the Pit Lane. A bit on the longer side, but yeah, we can go the whole day blabbing about Formula One. So I guess we will see you next week during the Bahrain Grand Prix. And yeah, until then, stay safe, stay happy, and keep watching Formula One. Goodbye, guys.
Yeah.
See you soon, guys.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. Thank you.